Joining us now is our friend Justin Adams. You get to hear him a lot on this program. Lucky you, you can follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV, and of course you can watch him on CBS4 in Denver. How's it going, my friend?
Doing very well. You know, I'm a happy camper, but probably not as happy as Teddy Bridgewater is today.
Teddy Bridgewater, of course, finds himself in a new situation. The Denver Broncos trade a sixth rounder for him. It ends up being a great deal for the Broncos, Justin, because given the restructure of the contract, the fact that Carolina's paying a lot of it, you're basically getting Teddy Bridgewater on a one-year, $3 million deal. Considering you have to give Jeff Driskel $2 million last year, to me this seems like an absolute steal.
Anytime you get a contract where another team paid more for Joe Flacco that you're paying for Teddy Bridgewater, that's when you know it's a great deal. And that's exactly what the Broncos have. And the big thing is, look, Teddy Bridgewater, he's not going to give you all the gaudy stats. I looked up all his starts that he had. He's only thrown three or more touchdowns in his career two times. That's it. So he's not a guy who's going to throw a lot of touchdowns, but he's also not a guy who's going to turn over the ball, too. So this is a really good move for the Broncos.
And when you look at what George Payton said he was going to do, the Broncos' new GM, he said he wanted to bring in competition in the room. Now, at the same time he was saying that, he was trying to trade for Matt Stafford. He was kicking the tires on Deshaun Watson, taking a look at Sam Darnold, and talking about Bridgewater as well, as well as looking at a couple of different free agents that are veterans, too, most of whom would supplant Drew Lock. Did Teddy Bridgewater, does he do the same? If you had to play a game today, which quarterback would you have to start?
Teddy Bridgewater, in a heartbeat, because I know that, look, again, I'm not going to have my team go up and down the field. We'll probably get two or three drives that are, you know, touchdown drives, if that. But I know he's not going to give away the football. And with the team that you have and the defense that you have, you want to do everything that you can to make sure that if a team is going to go up against your defense, they have to go at least 80 yards and not have a short field. And that's what you would have had with Drew Lock. Drew Lock is truly a, you know, high risk, high reward type of guy. If he's going well, great. But other times he throws a lot of interceptions, just like we saw against the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas last year. So it's definitely somewhere where you say, give me Teddy Bridgewater, because I know he's going to take care of that football.
And the NFL's sort of in a weird spot, isn't it? Because you think about the way that Drew Lock plays. When John Elway was playing, that was acceptable. You just kind of took the good with the bad and you lived with it. But now when you're in a post-Peyton Manning world, it is accuracy and ball control that matters more than just about anything. And most coaches, I think, would rather have someone reliable that makes sure you're going to get the same thing every week than some guy that might be great one week and awful the next.
Well, because you know what you're going to get. That's the biggest thing, is that you have that consistency. And if there's anything that really hurt Drew Lock last year, other than the injuries, to be honest with you, it's his consistency. I know in the last couple of games, he finished the year with, like, what, 7 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. All that sounds great. You know what he did the year before? The team was 4-1, so that sounded wonderful, too. But what happens in October? What happens in late September? Oh, by the way, what happens when your team starts off 0-4? What are you going to do from there? You got to make sure that you have a quarterback that's stable enough, if it's Teddy Bridgewater, to at least help your team be in position to win the first couple of games of the year to keep that momentum going into October.
Now, pun not intended, Bridgewater on a one-year, $3 million deal is a what we call a bridge quarterback. He's going to be the quarterback until they have the next guy. Is the next guy still going to be someone they pick in the first round of this draft?
Yes, because there's no other reason why you should go to the second round and pick up somebody else and have another mistake thinking that you're going to find the guy. The reality is this. Teddy Bridgewater should be your bridge quarterback. Here's another piece that not a lot of people are talking about. There is no more guaranteed money on the contract for Drew Lock. So if you decide to let him go, if you decide to move on from him and use him as a trade piece, you could be able to do so because it's a low contract. There's no more guaranteed money on that. And if you do draft a quarterback in the first round, you have him for 5 years because you have that fifth-year option. So imagine if you pick up Trey Lance or if you pick up a Justin Fields, you don't have to say to those guys, hey, we're going to rely on you to guide this team that's going to be defensive-centered to go and get us into the playoffs. We're going to give you time to understand how to play the game, learn from Teddy Bridgewater, and, oh, by the way, when you're ready, we'll put you into the game.
And that's really the interesting part of it, too. I think you bring up a good point with the contract situation with first-round quarterbacks. We're talking with Justin Adams of CBS4. Follow him on Twitter, at Justin Adams TV. The fifth-year option, look, rookie quarterbacks are the most valuable thing in the NFL. The guys on those rookie deals, especially if they have that fifth year available. We saw what Sam Darnold was able to command in the trade market, even though he had been something of a disaster. So I look at someone like Lance or Fields, and the beauty of having a Teddy Bridgewater is, yeah, you could say, okay, Bridgewater's going to play this year, and you'll hope that the other guy's ready in 2022, but you don't have to. If he happens to be ready and looks ready for you in week six, in week 10, you can still go to him because there really isn't a commitment to Bridgewater except to basically say, hey, you're here until a younger guy replaces you.
And let me go with another step forward with Bridgewater, too. This is his last opportunity for him to get a big contract, mm-hmm. if you look at it again, right? So you have pretty much a one-year, $3 million deal. He understands the situation he's going into. So he's going to do everything he can to have a great season so that he can continue his career as a starting quarterback, whether it's in Denver or in another place, too. On the opposite side as well, just like you said, look, you don't have to put a rookie quarterback in immediately. What happened with Patrick Mahomes? He didn't start his first season. He only played one game his rookie year, and that was the last game of the season against the Denver Broncos at Mile High. So you want something similar just like that to where your team is going to go to the playoffs, but you don't have to rely on a rookie quarterback to get you there.
So I talked about this yesterday. 24 starters on an NFL club, including your kicker and your punter. I feel like we know 22 of the Broncos right now. I would say today maybe we know 23. Hmm? Now knowing that really the only spot that might be up for grabs on opening day because potentially the middle linebacker, is this also a put up or shut up year for Vic Fangio now?
Yes, 100%. Because in the second round, if you're able to keep your second rounder, you should go and get yourself a linebacker. There's plenty of linebackers to be able to get. So you find yourself your coverage linebacker, get that weak side linebacker, and then you look up and say, where's the holes on this defense? And I'll give you the answer. If everybody's healthy, there are no holes on this defense, especially if you get that linebacker in the second round. So get that done. And again, and we talked about this all the time. The pressure on Vic Fangio is not just for the season. It's for the first four games. He is terrible within the first four games. That's just a reality. If you look at the last 2 years, within the first four games, this team is 1-7? Like, that's unacceptable. You can't have
technically,
that.
He hasn't won a game in September yet.
No. So, first of all, can we get that done? I mean, we're feeling like we're the Rockies here, okay? Can we just win? I mean, is that okay? Like, get that done. Get you a couple of W's. Start the season off, like, 1-0, 2-0 maybe. That would be nice. And give your team a legitimate shot to get into the postseason by not having the season over in September.
Adding Teddy Bridgewater, let's just make it as plain as can be. To my mind, that means that Drew Locke's tenure as the starting quarterback in the Denver Broncos is over. Am I reading this wrong? Is he really competition for Drew Locke, or is this the end?
No, this is the end. And to be honest, it's been the end. It was the end when you went 4-9 last year in the year that was supposed to be an opportunity for you to be the franchise quarterback. And to me, this is one of the things I struggle with that I don't understand. The narrative last year, we all talked about it, was this is the year we're going to find out if Drew Locke is the guy. He went 4-9 in his 13 starts, and he was injured for part of the season. That's not your franchise quarterback. Now, if it was somebody who said, went maybe 6-6, 7-5, you said, you know, we could see it, we could work with him, then we move from there. But no, he's not the franchise quarterback. You're not going to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes with him. You're barely able to beat Justin Herbert with him. So if you can't do that, then you need to move on from him and pick up somebody else. And that's what you do tomorrow night in the first round.
Adding Bridgewater, I think, is fascinating for a couple reasons. One, I think you're exactly right with Drew Locke. And I want to point out the stat that I think is even more problematic is in those 13 starts last year, he had a turnover in 11 of them. I mean, that's the one thing you really can't do, even despite the lack of accuracy. You could almost live with some of that without the turnovers. But now you have George Payton going to a quarterback he is extremely familiar with, was in the room when he was drafted, and knows Teddy Bridgewater very, very well. That, to me, indicates when you're talking about a GM that trust is going to matter. When GMs come in, they usually want to pick their coach. They usually want to pick their quarterback. Well, it sounds like George Payton has already decided to pick his quarterback, both in the short term and perhaps in the long term tomorrow. So looking at what he's done in the offseason, has there been a misstep by George Payton? Because I'm going to be honest, Justin, I'm not really sure there's been a clear one.
You have to make sure you get yourself a swing tackle and you need a running back. And I know we could say you go late in the draft, you go undrafted, and or find you a running back, because I know Melvin Gordon is going to be your starter. But you have to make sure that you get a swing tackle, you get some depth on the offensive line, because we know Juwan James, he's going to go and, you know, pull a hammy for some reason or whatever. Or he's going to, you know, get a broken toenail and he's not going to be able to play. So you got to make sure that you get that depth at the right tackle position. But with the moves that he's made so far, I would say it's A+. And also, by the way, this team still has plenty of cap space to be able to make any additional moves to be able to supplement where you may have holes in your on your team. So it's been a great job so far by George Payton. But look, this is the difference between somebody, and I'm not saying that John Elway wasn't fully vested in his job, but when you have somebody who has something to prove, like George Payton, and even though he's on a 6-year contract, he says, year number one, I'm going to make my mark on this franchise. When you have somebody who's going to do that, you get the moves that you see right now. The Broncos are definitely in the right direction, at least on paper.
And I look at that situation, and I have to say, I talked about it earlier this week, I want to give John Elway and the Broncos credit, because look, John Elway's still with this organization. He's still technically George Payton's boss. And based on all the moves here, we're familiar with what John Elway does as a GM. Mm-hmm. It has seemed to me as if he has done what he promised, stepped back, and let George Payton run this team. And for a guy like John Elway, that's probably tough to do. I think it's commendable.
It is commendable to be able to do that. And to be able to know when, look, I'm not getting the job done. Like, I've had my run, I had my decade run, won me a Super Bowl with the team. But you know what? I'm not getting the job done the last 5 years. It's not that the Broncos haven't been to the playoffs. They haven't been competitive. Other than the 1 year that Gary Kubiak was here in 2016, this team has not been competitive. Now he steps aside. You finally get a new voice, a new vision, and now more moves are happening within the Broncos. So that's what I like to see right now, and it's a great job by John Elway to be able to step aside and know when your time is done.
We're talking with CBS4's Justin Adams, Justin Adams TV on Twitter, and I guess we'll go to the draft here. Last one for you. You believe that the Broncos are going to end up with a quarterback in the first round. I'm not going to ask you necessarily who, but I will ask you, are they going to trade up to try to control the narrative there, or are they just going to sit at 9 and select whichever one drops?
I will say if there's a quarterback at 7, you go up and you move up with the Lions at 7 and you make a move.
I agree.
Now, if there is, let's say, Justin Fields and Trey Lance for some weird reason, if both of those guys are available at 7, you may just talk to Carolina and see what they're going to do and go with your intel to see if they're going to make a move. And if they don't, then you know that one of those quarterbacks are going to fall to you, which means, yet again, the move that you made today to get Teddy Bridgewater is great because, look, that's your bridge to help you out the first-round quarterback that you just picked up tomorrow night. So by this time tomorrow, we should be talking about either Justin Fields or Trey Lance being the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Hopefully we can get that done and get this team back on track.
Does that mean on Friday that you're looking at trading Drew Lock, or is there any way you can see him staying on the team?
I'm making calls right now. I'm calling you on the phone right now. Look, if the Broncos need somebody to make a call, they can use my minutes. I'll make the call for them, okay? All right? I'll get it done. Look, hey, here's the thing, Sean. With today's technology, we have free long-distance calls. I know back in the day we had to pay for them. It's free. So, Broncos, I'll make the call for you. Just pick up a quarterback tomorrow.
He is Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And, of course, watch him on CBS4 in Denver. Always good to talk to you. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Broncos do. And when we catch you next week, we'll have a really good idea of where they're going. Thanks for the time tonight.
Anytime, Sean. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks. Strong stuff by Justin Adams. Strong feelings. And I tend to agree with it. That's where this gets so interesting to me, because Drew Lock's situation, he is polarizing. Believe me, on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, I mean, that they're piling in. And there are people that are happy about the move, and there are a couple Drew Lock defenders who are irate and convinced that Drew Lock is the league's next superstar, and he hasn't had the opportunity to do it through no fault of his own. And it's interesting that way, because I get it. If there's one thing this state likes, it's quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Broncos country loves quarterbacks. I get it. But the idea that Drew Lock, that nothing that's gone wrong was his fault. Drew Lock led the league in turnovers, not remotely his fault. That's on Pat Shurmur. That's on COVID. That's on Vic Fangio. That's on Jerry Jeudy. That's on whomever. Look, at a certain point, doesn't some of this have to land on Drew Lock? If Drew Lock was as convincing to the rest of the league, to the Broncos, to their GM, if Vic Fangio was standing on the table saying, Drew Lock's a superstar, he just hasn't been given the opportunity by my coaching staff or whatever, don't you think George Payton's going to listen to that? So projecting what Drew Lock is, what Drew Lock might be, and what Drew Lock's future with the Broncos now is very interesting. So we're going to try to do that next.